Our numero dos of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fan Upstate. Great to have you. I am Rob Brown, the great Milonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass this lovely Upstate Friday morning. Lot to do, lot to get to, lot to talk about on the radio program today. But before we do any of that, allow me to tell you how you can be a part of it. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is up for you right now at 844-326-3663, 844-FAN-FONE. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Like the texter that said, did you see Steph Curry last night, Zoe? Have you a bit of that? Yeah, we talked about that in the first hour, like a lot. Steph Curry's a dude. He is still a certified G.
Savior complex.
And you can't teach that. Dude went gangsta yesterday. We're going to talk about that in a minute in the water cooler cheat sheet.
He's only gangster if he does it in the gold medal game also. And consistency would say he won't.
Find out. 36 when they needed him the most. Talk about that coming up in a minute, as that is an item on the water cooler cheat sheet. We are good to we'll get to some football here in just a minute as well. Carolina Panthers opened up in the preseason yesterday. And we'll talk about what we saw and didn't saw in that game last night. We'll get some weekend NFL football as the rest of the league begins their preseason tomorrow. Well, tonight and tomorrow. So we'll talk some overall NFL preseason football coming up on the show.
Hey, real quick, why is Jacksonville in our region? I can't watch the Kansas City game tomorrow night, and I got to blame it on Jacksonville.
I blame most things on Jacksonville.
Why the heck is Jacksonville considered in our – I know Kansas City ain't, so it's got to be Jacksonville, right?
I don't know is the
I clicked
answer.
On it to record well, it, and it said regional blackout. Why?
Did it really?
Yes.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. I'm not sure if the people who made that decision realized just how far we are from Jacksonville. The answer is not far enough, but that we are far.
Apparently.
We'll talk some – preseason football coming up. Chiefs, by the way, will be playing their starters for a quarter in this game. Carolina had 30 inactives yesterday. Pretty much every starter.
32, actually, according to reports. But, I mean, you know.
All of them yesterday. Pulling people out of the stands. Oh, you got a jersey on. You want in for a minute? You know what? Let's just jump right in. All right? It is 7:03 in the morning. You are now less than 57 minutes away from having to get clocked in and locked in, from getting your day started, responding to those passive-aggressive emails from your supervisor. And then you're going to walk down the hall. You're going to head down to the break room, and you're going to take as much of a break as you possibly can. And you're going to talk sports. And if you're going to talk sports, you're going to need this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet Top 3 Sports Stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, this is what you'll be discussing. Let us jump right in with item number one. Carolina Panther preseason game number one got underway last night. A 17-3 victory by the New England Patriots over said Carolina Panthers last night. Again, if you watch these games for the wins and the losses, recognize that the preseason is not for you. Okay? These games are not about wins and losses. These games are explicitly about the team's development, improvement, progression, etc.
You're okay if they win, though, right?
I don't care.
So
you will never hear me.
That doesn't add a little something to it?
Nope. You will never.
So weird.
You have never, you will never hear me come in here one day and go, bang, 1-0 in the preseason. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that would be Homer kind of talk. Yeah.
for your team, my team, any team. 3-0 in the preseason don't mean a damn thing, all right? The 0-16 Lions were 4-0 in the preseason. It means nothing, all right? Honestly, you should Little League not even keep score.
How do you know that if you don't care about the score that they were 4-0? How do you know?
I don't care.
Okay, all right.
At all. Jack Plummer got the nod at quarterback for the Panthers last night. 11 of 21 for 86 yards. No tutties, no picks, although he did have two that probably should have and would have gone the other way had New England been playing their ones against Jack Plummer. But had New England been playing their ones, I assume Carolina would have played theirs, and those throws maybe don't happen.
No, I don't think they would. I don't think Carolina would have played their number ones no matter what.
Here's what I will say.
Because of injury. I know we're going to talk about it, but because of injury to the offensive line, they were not putting him out.
No, not at all. And not just him. Let's not just pretend like BY was the only guy not out there. Miles Sanders did not play. Chuba Hubbard did not play. Most of these guys did not play. In fact, of the guys that are expected to be starters who did play, there were like two linemen and John Mingo, who is technically listed as a starter on the depth chart right now.
And can't catch a ball that's thrown right to him. But anyway.
One snag, 6 yards for John Mingo last night. I will say this. Jonathan Mingo, a guy that I had high-ish hopes for in the NFL, I don't think this cat's making the roster this year. I don't think John Mingo is going to be a member of this team in week one. We'll find out. Jordan Matthews was your leading receiver last night. 3 catches for 48 yards. Terrace Marshall Jr., no catches, no yards. Same with John Mingo. Jalen Coker did have 1 catch, but it was for 3 yards on 2 targets. Amir Smith-Marset had 4 snags for 24 on 6 targets overall. The first quarter comprised of punt, 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 punt between the two teams. The second quarter comprised of punt, 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 New England touchdown when it's all said and done. The third quarter,
I think that was due to a turnover by the Panthers also. And that's why they were in scoring position. If not, it probably would have been another punt.
After the touchdown, punt, 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 end of half. That was the way the first half went. Second half, punt, 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 field goal, punt, touchdown, field goal, end of game. That was every drive between these two teams. It was UGLY. But if you're looking for the silver lining, you did have a bit of an alibi. The weather sucked a lot. It was nasty. It was rainy. It was wet. When the conditions are like that, we give the starting quarterbacks a little bit of grace. I'll do the same with Jack Plummer. I'll tell you what I was looking for in that game, and I said it to Rashad. I said it on the show a few times yesterday. Jack Plummer was a guy we watched play at under Jeff Brohm. Jeff Brohm, a guy who is notorious at the college level for getting a lot out of quarterbacks. Jack Plummer was not good at Louisville. All right, this was a prospective pickup. This was a let's see kind of pickup. Jack Plummer is, and this is just my analysis, take it as you wish, Jack Plummer was worse at Louisville than he was last night. So I said to Rashad going into this game, I am looking at Jack Plummer not as can Jack Plummer make the roster, because the answer is no. Andy Dalton is there as your backup. He's more than serviceable as a QB2. BY is your starter, obviously. So it's not about can he make the active game day roster. It's will he be your practice squad QB1/emergency QB3 should the need arise in the season? And the answer was meh. But based on what I saw,
you don't feel sorry for him. I mean, his first couple passes were crisp and they were dropped, and then the defense started playing well.
Oh, his numbers should have been better than 11 of 21.
And then the defense started getting into the backfield, and it was, I hope he doesn't die before this game is over.
So what I said to Rashad and what I said on the show yesterday was, I am looking to see what Jack Plummer looks like, because if Jack Plummer looks like a serviceable QB3, after what I saw out of Jack Plummer, including, by the way, getting rocked in their bowl game last year, if he looks serviceable, then maybe this Dave Canales fella, who was brought in to be a QB whisperer, maybe we can take a little faith in that is indeed what he is. And I will tell you, I am not unhappy with Jack Plummer. I'm not unhappy. Am I thrilled? Was I blown up? No. But it was windy. It was rainy. It was nasty. He's playing behind a hodgepodge, you know, offensive line of guys that aren't going to be on a roster in 3 weeks when we kick off. It kind of was what it was. And I will say, it is what it is. About as good as I can ask for, I think, out of that game last night. We'll talk more about it later on in the show, but we got to get to item number two. It was ugly. It was far more exhilarating than it needed to be, and it ultimately was a Team USA win. 95-91, the American men's basketball team knock off Serbia last night and earn themselves a berth in the gold medal game. Top performers, no doubt, first and foremost, Steph Curry, 36 points. He was 9 of 14 from 3, 12 of 19 from the floor. Also had 8 boards in this game. My man was everywhere last night. Second best performer, LeBron James. LeBron James, 16 points, but contributed a triple-double with a dozen boards and 10 assists as well. Nobody else really jumped off the page, with the exception of maybe Joel Embiid, who was 8 of 11 from the floor, including 2 of 3 from deep, 19 points, 4 boards, and a pair of assists. Did have 3 turnovers in the game. 2 of them came in real bad, real bad spots for the Americans down the stretch. They were outscored by 11 in the first half. Two more added in the third quarter, down 13 going into the fourth, but then outscored Serbia 32-15 in the fourth quarter, including a handful of clutch Steph Curry shots down the stretch. Look, I told you going in, Serbia is a threat. And I said yesterday on the show, be very careful about this game because Serbia wants you to fall asleep. They want you to be overconfident if you are Team USA. They want you to come into this game thinking you just roll the red, white, and blue basketball onto the floor and get the dub. But this team is good. They are comprised of supplemental caliber NBA players centered around a guy who is a 2-time, should be 3-time NBA All-Star in his prime. Ended up being exactly what I thought it was going to be. A little closer, I said, a 7.5-point win, ended up being by 4. But Team USA does get the win. They will play France, the home country. You thought the Serbian crowd was hostile. Wait until you take on France in France tomorrow at 3:30 with the Olympic gold medal on the line. Let's get to item number 3. You know, I debated whether or not this was a cheat sheet topic, but my phone blew up about it last night. My NFL dudes were losing their mind. Great one. Did you see the interaction between Jerry Jones and CeeDee Lamb last night?
Yes. LOL.
Let me say exactly what CeeDee Lamb did. LOL. A tweet went up with a video of Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones was asked by a member of the media if there was an immediacy to signing an extension for star wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. When asked if it was any sort of hustle play for the Cowboys to get that done, Jerry Jones said, well, I don't know about that, but I know we're getting great work, making real progress, and I don't think losing a step at where we're at now. Effectively said, he doesn't, quote, and this is a direct quote, have a sense of urgency, end quote, about getting a contract extension done for the wide receiver. Lamb has entered the last year of a deal scheduled to pay him $17.99 million this season. He did not report to training camp as he waits for a new contract to become one of the NFL's highest paid wide receivers. So the Cowboys placed Lamb on the reserve did not report list earlier this week to add a roster spot during camp. He will, of course, eat some fines as he waits for the new contract. Lamb reposted the video of Jerry Jones saying that he doesn't, quote, have a sense of urgency, end quote, to get the deal done. Lonzo, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor here. I'm going to ask you to give me your best dramatic reinterpretation of the C.D. Lamb tweet from last night. Like, reach down deep into your Shakespearean roots. Channel your inner Sir Ian McKellen and deliver the C.D. Lamb quote in a way that impacts me emotionally.
LOL.
It's not bad. It's not bad. And by the way, absolutely true to the source material in terms of the script of that moment. C.D. Lamb reposted it with LOL. Jones, when asked whether he felt that sense of urgency and whether he felt the sense of urgency after that tweet, said through laughter, but like, you know that nervous laughter where you're like, I'm in danger. You know that laughter in the movie where the wayward spouse is like kind of caught, but not all the way caught cheating? And the other one's like, hey, were you with her last night? And the husband's like, no, I was at work. I told you, I was at the gym. Come on, you silly goose. I wasn't with her last night. I was working out. That kind of laughter. Jerry Jones said, quote, I don't know why I said that. I do, Jera. I do. Because you're out of touch, bud. Because you're out of touch. It's cooked. I, ladies and gentlemen, am willing to declare, we've been tiptoeing on this razor's edge for a couple of years now. I am happy to say that today, last night, officially, Dallas Cowboys fans, somebody send for a welfare check on Cole Bryson. You have entered the Al Davis zone. You have entered a point where the Cowboys cannot get right until Jera is no longer in charge. And, not to be macabre, but there's only one way Jerry's not in charge of the Dallas Cowboys any longer. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's break down a little bit more Carolina-New England preseason game from last night. Would we see? Would we not see? I'll give you some thoughts when we return on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So what do we see out of the Panthers preseason contest against the New England Patriots last night? First off, I don't think anything that tells you what this team is going to look like in week one. You had 30-plus starters who did not play last night. 30-plus. Honestly, I think that number is higher than that, because I think there are a couple of dudes listed as starters that may or may not be when we get to week one, because it is so early in the preseason. There's still time for guys to jump up, to jump down. But there are a couple of things that jumped out. Number one, and Lonzo has harped on this a couple of times correctly and accurately. Wide receivers are, I am apprehensive. Now, again, we didn't see Deontay Johnson. We didn't see Adam Thielen last night. But there are two names that have been coming up in this preseason run that we have mentioned multiple times. Those names are John Mingo and Terrace Marshall Jr. Those two cats. I need, and we've talked, I said this yesterday on the show. I said it to Rashad Beard. I said it to Lonzo. I said it to the Armada. I am confident in Deontay Johnson. I am confident in Adam Thielen. I need one of, minimum, John Mingo, TMJ, Amir Smith-Marset, or Xavier Leggett. I need one of those dudes to be a dude. I got four guys. I need one of those dudes to be a dude. I would love two of those dudes to be a dude, because if two of those dudes become a dude, now I got a four wide set when I need it. But if I can get one of those dudes to be a dude and feel comfortable in a three wide shotgun with the running back, I can justify that and go, all right, Raheem Blackshear, Chuba Hubbard, these are guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. I'd love to be able to run a four or a five wide set. But I can justify having three plus a running back and a tight end and utilizing that as a base set even when we need big chunk plays. John Mingo and TMJ both had shots last night. John Mingo and TMJ were both not great last night, and I'm apprehensive about
that. Well, when we were previewing the game and talking about, I mentioned that it's going to be a different trajectory, different speed for than what they would be used to with Bryce Young, who has more of a touch than what Jack Plummer does. But it was right in their hands. And even Steve Smith had to correct himself. Oh, he threw it behind him. Well, I guess he didn't. You got to catch that, son. You know, that type of thing. On defense, saw some guys stand out who really wanted to make the team. On offense, not so much. You saw a little bit of more of the same, which is scary, except for the tight end. And I can't remember his name. He used to be a receiver, and they were talking about how he had changed the tight end. I thought he
Jordan
stood
Matthews?
Out.
Jordan Matthews?
Yeah, I thought he stood out a little bit on offense. But that's about it.
Yeah, I think your offensive line last night, and let's frame the conversation this way. The guys that played last night are fringe guys. Those are guys trying to make the roster. Those are guys trying to earn a practice squad spot. Those are guys just trying to get a contract. Doesn't matter, just a contract last night. So I don't know, and this is why I said, I don't care what your expectations are for the regular season. Your expectations last night should have been, does the system look like it's in place? And I will say, I wasn't unhappy. Now, the other part of this,
I was, and even Rashad mentioned vanilla, because we knew it was going to be vanilla to a degree. The best system in the world is not going to work if they don't catch the ball. I'm gonna stop. But
no, you have to stop. That is correct. But what I would say is, what you saw last night was the equivalent of driving by a construction site that just has concrete poured and nothing else. Right? Like you can see what it's gonna be. You can see the shape of the building, but not much else. You can maybe even see, all right, there's going to be a bathroom over there because there's a pipe in the ground, and there's going to be a closet over here because of the size of this particular offshoot. Like, you can get some ideas of what this is going to look like, but you really don't know. How tall is it going to be? Is it going to be two-story? We don't know yet. It's going to be three, four, five stories, so we don't know yet. One story, don't know yet. This big area over here, is it going to be one bedroom, two, three? Is it going to be a bedroom at all? Is it going to be? You don't know. You can get a rough idea of the shape, but not really any focus on it. And I think that's what you got last night. We got a relatively rough idea, concept of what this was going to look like, but not much else. And Lonzo absolutely correctly points out, Dave Canales might end up having the greatest offensive mind in the history of the NFL. But if you put a ball into the hands of John Mingo and he can't catch it, nothing matters. And what I can't do last night, great one, is write that off as, oh, well, it's preseason. My man, if at this point in your career, a few years in, if at this point in your career you can't run a dig route and catch a ball that hits you in the hands, Whether it's thrown by B.Y., Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, or Rob Brown, if you can't catch that ball, you're not going to make it, my guy. You're not going to make it. And that's disappointing because if, as we mentioned on the depth chart, if Mingo, Leggett, Marshall, Smith-Marset, Jalen Coker, if any of these, who did have a catch, by the way, short catch, but did have a catch, if any of these guys are able to turn into a dude, that means that Carolina's last few draft classes will not have gone to waste. It will mean that the emphasis on picking up wide receivers to put around Bryce Young will not have been a waste. If none of these guys develop, and it's just Johnson, Thielen, and Young v. the world, you guys are screwed, dude. You guys are cooked. Because now I need effectively four defensive backs to cover up two wide receivers. And I'm putting friggin' 7-8 in the box. Good luck running the ball against an eight-man front. I'm running a 4-4 with a single high deep safety, man coverage on Thielen and Johnson. And I wish you the best of luck. It's not going to work. So, the good news is, I liked what I saw in terms of the raw foundation. Like I said, you got to see the concrete slab of the Dave Canales offense last night. And I was fine with it. I thought you saw enough variety in the run game to show me that this isn't going to be a team that has to rely on the power run or the finesse run. I think there was enough to show me that there's going to be a little bit of each mixed in. And I think you have to have that, not just for the sake of variety, keeping defenses on their toes, but also to make sure that you can move Bryce Young around as necessary and utilize the run game as a way to do that, as a tool in the tool chest of doing that. And if you can make that happen, I think you find yourself in a pretty good spot. Put him in the ankle lock, dude. Put him in the ankle lock right now. Sorry, we got wrestling on it.
Ankle lock is illegal, but he got the 2 points for taking it.
Is it illegal? Kurt Angle did it with a broken freaking neck.
Yeah, but he never did an ankle lock.
Well, this wrestling's dumb.
That dude looks like Joe Hendry.
So, I think the foundation was laid. I think the foundation is laid to show that there is variety. I think with Jack Plummer as your starting quarterback last night, again, and this is where transitive property of football comes into play as a theory, Jack Plummer at Louisville was a guy that showed a lot of panic. I can give him credit for this last night, Lonzo. He took a couple of shots in the pocket. There was never a point where I was like, oh, this kid looks terrified. This kid looks bad. A lot of rookie quarterbacks, a lot of young guys come into that spot. They take a shot or two, and you can see that, oh, I'm in over my head. Jack Plummer, in fact, Steve Smith credited him for a pass in the third quarter that got tipped down by a linebacker. Steve Smith said, let me tell you this, it looks bad because the pass got tipped. But look at Jack Plummer. He gets the snap. He stands high in the pocket. He delivers that throw with a rhythm and a timing that is a wide receiver you appreciate him having. He never looked panicked. Does that mean that I'm going, oh, Jack Plummer's QB2? No, not at all. What it does mean is that the lessons of Canales, because the Jack Plummer I watched at Louisville did panic. He did. The Dave Canales influence on Jack Plummer, and this is subjective analysis from me, that maybe no one agrees with, or maybe everyone does. Subjectively speaking, to me, what I saw was a quarterback who was very happy feet and very rushy in college. Last night, even after taking some shots, was standing in the pocket and at least trying to deliver a rhythmic football, and that's appreciated.
That was one of the most boring preseason games I've ever seen. And I found myself more excited for some of the guys on New England side. because they had some rookies that you're waiting to see get the play, including a couple Gamecocks and a certain quarterback who got in there. And just immediately there was the crowd got into it a little bit more. There's a little more excitement because he didn't know what he was going to do. That was the best part of the whole game to me. And I hate that I'm saying that about New England.
So I'll respond a couple of ways to that. Number one, I do enjoy preseason, getting to watch guys that I watched them play in college get their opportunity at the next level. That being said, I don't need exhilaration out of a preseason game in which 85% of the starters aren't dressed out. I don't need it. All right. Is it nice? Sure. Like if a guy number six on the wide receiver depth chart does something special, it's like, oh, okay, maybe there's a chance we stumbled into a dude here, right? I, as a Saints fan, I remember the preseason after we picked up Marcus Colston from Hofstra in the seventh round. He had a couple of moments in the preseason where you're like, did we accidentally find a dude? And we did. So that is nice. But if you tune into the game and go, well, that was boring, that's okay when I'm talking about guys trying to make the roster, because it means guys weren't screwing up and maybe we got a foundation here.
I get what you're saying, but I wanted someone from the Panthers to stand out as far as those guys, to look like they're really trying to make the roster. And you saw that a little bit on the New England side. You didn't see that on the Panthers
side. I get what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing with what you were saying. What I am saying is, keep in mind, all the guys that were wearing silver and white last night were up against a bunch of dudes wearing silver and blue last night, also trying to do that. There are some names I'm interested in that we saw last night. One of them is Lamar Jackson. No, not that one. Not that one. The other one. Lamar Jackson, the cornerback last night, kind of stood out a little bit. Kind of made a couple of plays on the ball last night. And I went, oh, maybe, especially for a team that has had plenty of issues with the defensive backfield getting injured, did we find a little depth here? Did we find a guy that we can plug into a spot if and when a J.C. Horn goes down, that we can look and go, maybe this guy's got something. It's his third season in the league. Maybe we found a dude here. There were some guys that I thought showed consistency. And in preseason one with 30-plus starters out, I'm looking for that. But am I being subjectively optimistic? You tell me when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you here on a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Carolina Panthers preseason game last night, 17-3. The Patriots win in a with a score that is irrelevant. I would say victory doesn't matter, points do. Victory matters not. What matters is, was your offense able to finish some drives? Was your defense able to stop some drives? That's what matters. That and not much else, right? Now, I will say, there was one problem last night for the Carolina Panthers. They could not get a drive going, and they could not sustain a drive into the red zone last night. That's a problem. Those are the things I got to be concerned about. But again, and this is why I point out every time we have any sort of conversation, nuance and context matter. This is why I said I didn't just argue. I all but screamed yesterday. Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat.
I think you did actually scream.
I probably did.
Yeah.
Win and losses are not a quarterback stat. And arguing that wins and losses are a quarterback stat effectively says you don't care about the context of any situation except what the points on the scoreboard say at the end. And that matters for 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. But that, to me, if you invested your money with that mentality, you'd have some real good days and you'd be broke when it was all said and done, right? If you were a stock market investor and you get on and you look at your portfolio one day, I mean, this just happened. If you are a person who on Tuesday looked and saw your portfolio was down because of the stock market crash and went, uh-oh, and ran out of that room, you didn't get to ride it Wednesday and yesterday when the market regained all those losses, when it went right back to where it was on Monday, right? You bailed out and you panicked because you were, because of your panic, and I'm not a financial expert, so this is probably not a great example for me to use, but I did talk to somebody who is about this. If you panicked and you bailed out, you probably cost yourself some losses by being short-sighted and panicking because of a situation instead of looking at what this little situation, this momentary framing of the conversation says and going, all right, but how does that fit into a long-term strategy, a long-term target here? And I'm a little concerned that's what happens with people in these preseason games. So the context of the situation here is, yes, you had some wide receivers drop some footballs yesterday. That ain't great. That's a crash. Putting it into context, you had some guys that were getting thrown to by a third string quarterback that likely they have had very little on-field and consistent timing with, right? Execution with. I suspect TMJ and John Mingo have not had a ton of full speed action with Jack Plummer. Probably got some since Andy Dalton went down with the quad a few days ago. But I suspect they have not had a ton of activity with Jack Plummer in a meaningful and sustained way. And I think you probably saw a result of that. As far as some of the offensive line, etc. Again, if you never played it, and this is something Zoe and I have both told you many times, do you know why some of the most intelligent guys on the football team are your offensive linemen? Because with the exception of perhaps the quarterback, there's no more cerebral position than any of the five across the offensive line. You come up to the line of scrimmage, you go hand in the sand and get ready for the snap, and you look up and you see a 4-3, you got a set of rules that you got to know. And it's not just your rule, but what your rule is based on the front you're seeing may impact the guy's rule next to you, and his rule may change based on what you're seeing in your rule. And so if you come up and there's a Mike linebacker that's nose up on you, and pre-snap he takes a one-step move to the left, your entire blocking scheme may change with one step. Not just yours, but the guys next to you as well. And you've all got to be on the same page. Defensive line, as a former defensive lineman, not as complicated. Ordinarily, you come to the line, you got a rule. You got one rule. I want you to line up in a 7 technique. I want you to attack the C gap. If the guard pulls, jump in his back pocket and go. And that's your rule, right? Like, that's kind of your thing. So, in a preseason game, not just a preseason game, but preseason game number one, my defensive line better win against a group of offensive linemen that are just trying to make it, right? My defensive line better win more than they don't against a group of offensive linemen that are effectively auditioning to make somebody's practice squad or to be somebody's reserve offensive lineman on the game day roster. That better be what happens here. And I think you got to see some of that last night. So, to me, you should not be panicking or exuding confidence from last night?
See, I came out of that game going, okay, all right. I just want a little bit of a spark from somewhere. And I get, if we would have got to see Xavier play, that would have been a little bit of excitement.
Sure, but my man's banged up. I'm certainly not sending out a guy that's already 90%.
But what if the second preseason game happens and we see the same thing? I know it's preseason, but you still want to see a spark. You want to see something. When Bryce Young and all the starters get in there, if it looks the same way as it did yesterday,
then I have a cause for concern. If my starters go out there and they don't have a click, then I think you have justifiable cause for concern. If BY goes out there and he puts a ball into the numbers for John Mingo and he just can't catch it, now I got a guy that can't catch. Now I got a guy I'm concerned about. If they go out there and BY is throwing 7 routes to a guy running a 5 route, now I got a cause for concern. They don't have the offense shaped up. Now I'm very worried. But that's not what last night was. Last night was 2s and 3s and 4s trying to make the roster. Sometimes, you ever heard the expression, you're doing too much? There's some of that out there last night too. Do I want to see a guy, though, that's out there busting his ass to make the roster? Yes, I absolutely do. You know what I don't want to see? A guy goes out there busting it to make the roster, and he does too much. He overexerts to the point that it throws off the other 10 guys on the field at the same time. I don't think you saw that either, and there is some cause to settle with that.
I know it bothers you when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There are people out there who are fans who do not get into the analytical side, don't care about the majority of the stuff you're saying. They just want to see a win. They watched that performance yesterday. Even if you do lose, as long as you see people standing out looking like they're trying to make the team, that it was very mad the whole way, and I could see why people would go, oh no, here we go again. The Panthers are going to be bad again.
That is, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, a you problem. That's a you problem, all right? That's the problem of a casual. I want to win a preseason game. Okay, well, I care about the long term, gratification for 3 hours.
I'm not going to, you know, casual coming from you is like you're calling them a name, and I'm not going to do that. If you're a fan, you're whatever level of fan you are, I think it comes down to the end. Still, people want to see wins or losses, or at least it looked like that there is something that's improving over last year or the last couple years.
Are football games won by one exciting play? No.
They can be.
They're won by 10. They're won by 9 guys doing the right thing so 2 guys can do the exciting thing. And that's the spot. If somebody called this show right now and said, Lonzo, I'm not a radio professional, but I want you guys to tell more fart jokes because they make me laugh and they're exciting, you would go, get off my radio, you casual. That's what I do with football.
No, I would never call them a casual. It's such a slight to me because it seems like that's what you mean it to be.
I kind of do.
Okay.
So, I kind of do.
All right.
I kind of do. Odie says, Rob, sit back a little bit, man. I want to scan your shirt. Absolutely will, as Lonzo flashes you.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. We're no strangers to love. The U.S. men's basketball team won a thriller over Serbia 95-91 to earn their spot in the Olympics gold medal game. The Americans trailed by 11 at halftime and as many as 15 in the game, but outscored Serbia 32-15 in the fourth quarter to claim and keep the lead late. Steph Curry went 9 of 14 from 3 to finish with 36 points and added 8 rebounds. Joel Embiid went 8 of 11 and scored 19. The Atlanta Falcons will be without recently acquired wide receiver Rondale Moore, placing him on the injured reserve with a season-ending knee injury. The 23-year-old was listed as the 4th receiver on the depth chart. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate. It's also a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.